This is HPR episode 2286 entitled, Surviving a Stroke. It is hosted by Tony Kumak at Tony H1212 and is about 11 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is, on the 2nd of February I had a stroke, this is my story.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello, Hacker Public Radio listeners. This is Tony Hughes in Blackpool in the UK. This show's going to be a little bit off track on what I usually record, but I thought listeners might be interested in my experience. First off, a disclaimer. Anything I say here is my experience and is no way intended as advice to anyone. Everyone who experiences or is at risk of a stroke is different, and you must make your own lifestyle choices based on professional advice. With that clear, let's get on with the show. On 2nd of February, just gone, earlier this year, I had a massive stroke. It came completely without warning. I was out playing bridge with my wife, and we were just about to start a bridge class that we were attending, and I sat down at the table, and suddenly I had an almighty white noise in my head. Basically, I thought there was a fault with my hearing aids to start off with, and I ripped them out, but it continued, and then suddenly I got a blinding headache, and I just couldn't say what was going on. My wife came back into the room at that point and sat down, and you know, I had my head in my hands, and she thought I was just suffering from a migraine, so she didn't do anything for several minutes, but then one of the people who was sat at the table suggested it might be a bit more serious, and she wrote on a bit of paper home or hospital, and I pointed to the word hospital, and then it all kicked in. There was a couple of people who were at the bridge club who were doctors, and they apparently got me on the floor and everything, but in the meantime my wife rang the emergency services and got an ambulance, and I was taken to the local accident and emergency department at the local hospital, who were brilliant. Even though there was loads of pressures, they were fantastic. Several hours after getting into the emergency room, this is now 5 o'clock in the morning, I was admitted to a ward, and at that stage they still didn't know what had happened to me. They were querying infection, a couple of other things, but I got admitted to the ward, and they had me down for a CT scan, which I duly had in the evening around about 4 o'clock. And after that scan, it was then confirmed I'd actually had a stroke. Consultant came up to see me about 7-8 o'clock that evening to talk to me about it, because I'd still had residual effects 24 hours after the attack. They decided that I'd had a stroke rather than a TIA, or trans ischemic attack, or more commonly known as a mini stroke, because the effects of that wear off after about 24 hours. So I duly spent the next 12 days in hospital having further tests. A week later I had another scan, and this time an MRI, as that gives a clearer picture of what's gone on in the brain compared with the CT scan, and had the first day of admission. And after seeing that result of the scan, the consultant was convinced I'd had a stroke and was quite amazed that I'd not been more severely affected. As I said, the main effect was weakness, slight weakness on my right side. I also had an effect where my mouth felt really strange, and when I was chewing it felt like I was wearing someone else's false teeth. But that was really, really weird. But gradually over the last few weeks since I was released from hospital, you know, sent home, that's gone away pretty well, largely. So, all in all, I dodged a bullet. You know, I've not had major effects. So that's not to say there were no effects. Like I say, the biggest effect now is that I get fatigue. They call it post-stroke fatigue syndrome. And initially I was tiring after 30-40 minutes exertion, but now that's gone up, that I can do something mildly exertive for a couple of hours before I start getting tired and need to sit down or maybe go and have a rest. But like I say, doing things that I could have previously done all day now take, you know, after a couple of hours, then I'm tired and I need to go and have a rest. But that said, things are getting on better. One of the other effects, because it affected my right side and I'm right-handed, was my ability to write. Fine motor control in my right arm went to a certain extent, and I found it difficult to hold a pen steady, so writing anything with my right hand, although it wasn't impossible, it was a bit wobbly, and I found doing my signature initially a bit difficult, but again that started to come back. And as most of the work I do at home, writing wise, I do on a keyboard, it's not such a major problem. So I hear you saying, what caused it? Well, the truth is they don't know. The most severe risks for people are those that drink alcohol excessively, smoke, have a very high fat diet. Also those that are overweight, particularly people who are classed as obese, those with a BMI over 30. People with diabetes are also high risk. But the main other factor, which is probably what influenced my stroke, is genetic. I've got a couple of members of my family, my grandfather and on my father's side, and my uncle on my mother's side, both suffered major strokes, which ultimately led to their deaths. And it's probably this genetic factor that may have, you know, influenced me having a stroke. Because I don't drink. I've been vegetarian for nearly 30 years. Previous to the stroke, my blood pressure was checked regularly and was always seen to be within normal range, which is one of the risk factors. And although I was a little bit overweight, I was about a stone and a half overweight at the prior to the stroke, but I'd even started to lose a little bit of that, and I'd lost half a stone in the previous few months. But the other factor is that prior to the stroke, the blood tests have shown that I'm pre-diabetic, so I'm going to have to increase my exercise, which again is something I'd started to do, and alter my diet to reduce my blood sugars. Not a major issue. I'd started to attend the gym, started to walk more because I was intending to lose weight anyway, and I actually prefer healthy food, so that's all good. The main thing I have to watch is not so much what I eat, is how much I eat. I must admit, I do enjoy my grub, and I tend to pile it on my plate. So that was one of the influencing factors in making me overweight, was instead of having one portion of things, I tended to have two and maybe even go back for seconds. So that's something that can be dealt with. The other major effect for me is the consultants told me I can't drive for 3 months after discharge from hospital, which at the time of recording this is another 6 to 8 weeks away. I can't drive now until the 14th of May, which means I have to rely on other people or get public transport. The public transport's not so much of a problem, but having to walk from transport stops, bus stops and things like that is more of a problem, because that's when it builds into the fatigue. So roll on May the 14th, although my doctor did say initially to take it easy and don't think about planning 200-300 mile round trips before you've checked out that you feel okay. So I am going to have to slowly moving back into driving. So really, if you fall into any of the risk factors, then maybe you need to think about changing your lifestyle. If you don't have any of the major risk factors in your life, don't assume stroke can't be something that can happen to you, because it can. My experience proves it, and having had this stroke, I've done further research on the internet, and there's lots of information out there. These blogs from people that have been in a similar position to me that have had strokes. I was reading a blog from a chap who was vegan and very healthy, and he had a stroke. So, you know, it's something that can happen to anyone. I've kind of recorded this basically to talk about it and get it out of my system, but I thought I might as well record it and let people out there in HPR land know what happened and have a little bit of a warning. So thanks, HPR listeners, for listening, and I'll be back soon. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.